page 240 and stand to your feet. Help us sing the first and the last stanza of "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There."
Yeah.
seated. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. And I know we've got several people that are out sick. I ask that you continue to remember them when you pray. Remember Gene. He had been in the hospital, been in the emergency room, and he was really sick and under the weather. He's doing something better, still weak, and would you pray for him, that God would be with him and touch him. And pray for me this morning. I had my procedure done last week on my neck and my knee. So they did the left side of my neck and the right knee. And so I've been walking like Fred Sanford. Young people have to Google who Fred Sanford is. But next week, not this week, the next week, I'll go in and I'll do the right side of my neck, left side of my knee, and pray that it would be a help. Good to have Greg back with us. And Andrew did a great job filling in at the last second last week. I was going to point it out, but I don't want to embarrass him. Andrew's real humble. And so I didn't want to point it out. He did a great job jumping up there. And isn't it awesome, though, to have young people in your church that are willing to do just anything for the Lord? And one thing I missed about Vacation Bible School this year, and not having it, was watching our children, watching our young people work in it, and how much the kids just love them and look up to them, and they do a wonderful job. It's awesome to have those young people in our church. Do remember all the things that are coming up in the days ahead. The deacons will be meeting today immediately following the morning service, and they've got a few things to discuss, and so they will be meeting. And then next Saturday, on July 24th, we'll be having our pray for the schools. You believe the kids are going back to school soon. I don't have kids going back to school. My son's going to college, but I don't have children going back into the public school system this year. But it's hard to believe that the summer has gone and it's back to the grind for them once again. We want to pray for our children. They're facing so many things. Our school boards are being inundated with the world. They're forcing our teachers to teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. And so you pray for our children, pray for our teachers. Many of them are having to do things that they don't want to do. And so we pray that God would open up doors for them as well. Remember, next Sunday will be our quarterly conference after the morning worship service. And then the men's retreat, we do have sign-up sheets in the back for all you men, members or non. We invite you to come go with us. The dates of that are September 8th through the 11th. Invite people to go with you. We just need to get a head count pretty soon of who all's going. And there's sign-up sheets back there in the foyer. And so we'd love for you to come. We're going to Lake Gunnersville. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Awesome lake for fishing. Great golf course. They even got zip lining. We'll get JL on a zip line this year. Turn him loose.
There you go.
It's funny, we went on a cruise several years ago. All our family went, everybody went. And we went to Honduras, and went to Belize, and to different places, and we decided to do two things. Cave tubing, which was nothing, and zip lining. And the zip lines weren't like those around here. Some of these were 1,000 foot long and 200 foot high in the jungles. I mean, the mosquitoes in this place, you could ride them. Never seen mosquitoes like that. They look like wild turkeys. And but we got all sprayed up with bug spray. We got up there, and they got these cables stretched between trees. And it dawned on me, being in a foreign country like that, the inspectors had not been there recently. And we're swinging down the middle of the jungle and those things. But we all made it. We had a great time. Even my sister, Kelly, did it. Once you get there, there's no turning back. So probably will never get her on that again. But our men's retreat, we have a wonderful time. There's a lot to do. We have wonderful fellowship, wonderful food, and wonderful teaching and sharing of God's Word. It's just a wonderful time for us to get together. And so I invite you to come be a part of that if you would. ask that you continue to give to our Chest of Joash. We are about halfway to our goal so far, and because of your giving, y'all have done just an outstanding job and being faithful to what God lays on your heart. I don't want you to give anything that God doesn't tell you to give it. If God lays it on your heart, I can encourage you today that you cannot outgive God.
Amen.
If He lays it on your heart to give it, you give. Don't even consider it. Just do it. He'll take care of every need that you have.
Yes.
We're going to receive our regular morning offering now. All my groceries to come. We'll take up our morning offering. And we'll get right into the remainder of this service. That's Travis. We would ask the blessing on the offering.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day and thank you for being able to be back in my house. Lord, we just pray for this service today that we can come together in one mind and accord and just worship you, Lord, in spirit and truth. Lord, we just ask that you would bless this offering, Lord. Use it for the uplift of thy kingdom, Lord. And we just pray for Brother Steve so he can deliver the message today, Lord, that he steals the words that we're in need of hearing this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I'll fall asleep and
God's new heaven. Sheltered, safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Amen.
Steve, I just want to say that we are all sheltered in the arms of God.
Amen.
Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, and sometimes you don't know it because of the things you go through. But if it wasn't for a bad day, how would you know about it?
Amen.
And so I just praise God for all that He's doing, and praise God for giving
you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jenny. If you would turn your Bible to Psalm 84, continuing along our theme of victory in the valley, we come to a psalm that is one of the greatest psalms ever written. And it talks about the valley of Baca, or the valley of weeping. That's not what I want to focus on today. When you find your place in Psalm 84, if you'd stand with your Bibles open, as we honor and reverence the reading of God's holy word. Verse 1 says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in the house, they will still be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee." Let's pray. God, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness and mercy, which You've freely given each and every one of us. And Lord, as we stand this morning, I pray, God, that You would, Lord, just put Your words in my mouth this morning. Your thoughts in my mind and Your spirit in my heart, God, that I might not do anything or say anything that would not be pleasing to You. Lord, as we look at Your scripture this morning, I pray that it would jump off the pages to us, that it would be lively, that it would be full of hope, Lord, for those that are seeking You. And God, when all things are done, we'll thank You and praise You. For it's in Your name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. Ask this morning this question: how do you feel about church? How do you feel about attending church? Do you love it?
Amen.
Do you look forward to coming to the house of God?
Yeah.
Does it bring a thrill to you to be in God's house worshiping Him? Is Sunday morning the highlight of your week? Are you at the point where you can't stand to miss being in God's house? Well, whether or not you feel that way, we're going to see in just a few moments that church, that's the way that church is supposed to be. Church is supposed to be a place where people are excited to attend. If I was not excited about my church, I would find one that I was. You see, going to church is more than just putting your name on a roll, taking a spot on the bench, and putting your tithe in an envelope. Being a member of a church is more important than any of those things. Church is a place where Christians can fellowship with other Christians. When you go to the grocery store to do your shopping, you have no idea about the other people around you. You don't know whether they believe the same way you do or not. You don't know if you have anything in common. Because going to the grocery store is not the same thing as going to church. And yet people get more excited and do more preparation to go to a grocery store than they do to go to God's house each and every week. They'll make out a list. They'll set aside a time to go. And they'll make every effort to do everything they can to get the fullness of their visit to the grocery store. And yet we come to God's house, we come because it fits into our schedule, or because it's what we ought to do. But we don't make plans, we don't make preparations to be in God's house. But church is a place where God is exalted and where people are encouraged and edified. You see, it's at the church where we get a glimpse, where we get a foretaste, where we get an appetizer for heaven. If you're looking forward to heaven, then you should also look forward to being in God's house, to coming to church on Sunday. Because church is a practice ground for heaven. Now, when I talk about church, I'm not talking about simply showing up on Sunday to fake a few smiles and half-heartedly sing a few songs and suffer through a long-winded sermon. That's what a lot of people view of their church. But that's not what church is meant to be, and that's not what heaven's going to be like either.
Hey.
Almost all Christians have some idea of what they believe heaven will be like. We all have some belief system where we think heaven is going to be one unending church service. But that's just not so. That's just not the case. The Bible tells us differently about that place. I wouldn't want to go to church when that's all there was. There's more to church than meets the eye. And we as believers should embrace and should take hold of what coming to church should really be. You say, well, I just hate having to get up on Sunday mornings. I just hate having to get dressed. I hate having to put a girdle on. I hate having to fix my hair and put makeup. I hate all those things. And church becomes a drudgery to you. But when we prepare our hearts the right way, we set our hearts toward God and what church is really supposed to be, it won't be that way for you anymore. People have often said the church is dying. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. But what I do believe is that there is a world who is searching for a church that fits their idea and their idea of what church should be. It humors me sometimes. We have a site in our county called Cherokee Connect. Without fail, every day somebody will ask this question. I'm looking for a church. And then they go through a list of what they're looking for in a church. This past week, one of them said, I'm looking for a church that is not Christian-based. I kid you not.
What?
Am I telling the truth? They did not want to be taught the Bible. They wanted to be taught good thoughts and moral upbringing. They wanted to be taught good things. They did not want to hear about Christ. Who founded the church? Whose idea was the church? You can't have church. You might have a social meeting, but you won't have church without Jesus Christ. You won't have church without Him. But people will often make this statement, I'm looking for something for my children. I'm looking for something for my middle schooler. I'm looking for something for my high schooler. And they mean well to look for those things. I love my children, and I look for things to help them be successful. I try to set them up in things to help them be successful in life. That's what we are as parents. We are guides for them, to set their path on the way that they should go. That's what we're here for, right? And they mean well. But I want to tell you something. You can have the greatest middle school program in the world, but if you don't have God present, it's worthless. You can have the greatest nursery on the face of the earth. You can spend untold numbers of dollars, have the finest cribs, the best mattresses, play the little background music, have the little moguls hanging over the bed. You can do all those things. But if God is not the center of those things, they're for nothing. I always brag about our vacation Bible school. It's awesome to me to watch how we transform this stage up here to whatever thing it is. If it's going to be an archaeological dig, we've got a pile of dirt over here and a shovel in it. You know what I mean? We're trying to set the stage for that. But the most important thing that we do is we invite God to be the center of what we teach.
Amen.
It's the most important thing we do. But people are in church for all the wrong reasons today. And some of you may be too. Some of you may be the same thing. Psalm 84 does not actually talk about the church. That's because when this psalm was written, the church did not yet exist. So this psalm talks about the temple, which is similar to the church. The temple was a place where the Old Testament saints went to worship God. And so although it's about worshiping God in the temple, we can bring it into modern times and correlate it with worshiping in the church. Psalm 84 is a psalm of longing. Longing for fellowship with God. It is a psalm for all of us who seek to worship God in spirit and in truth. It is for those who seek God's presence for their life. You might be interested to know that this psalm is a psalm of pilgrimage. You see, every year the Jewish people were required to travel to Jerusalem to worship God in a temple. One of the things that I'm most thankful for is that I'm able to come to God's house without having to sneak. We had Brother Kirk here just a few weeks ago, and he could not be videoed when he talked. You know why? Because he's a missionary to North Africa, and it is illegal for him to speak the name of Jesus. It is illegal for him to teach the Bible there. And so he could not be seen to where it might be on social media. It would put their lives in imminent danger. I'm thankful in America that we have the ability to come to God's house anytime we want. We don't have to roll through any armed checkpoints. We don't have to meet in caves. We don't have to meet in a hut somewhere. But we can come into a beautiful building and worship God. I'm thankful for that freedom. The Jews didn't have that capability before the Holy Spirit came. They would meet three times a year in the temple. As they journeyed to these pilgrimages, they would sing songs. That's where we get these songs. Most of the songs that can be found in Psalm chapter 120 through 134, but they're scattered throughout the chapter. One of the great psalms they sung was this one. You see, music helps with the journey.
Amen.
Music is a powerful tool. When I was a kid, I used to have, in my car, I had Cutlass. I had a 74 Cutlass Supreme. Man, that thing was nice. Oh, problem was you could only drive it from gas station to gas station. How many of you ever went out in the ditches and picked up bottles to get enough money to put gas in your car? Kids will have to Google that too. But I had an 8-track player and a cassette player, as well as a radio in that car. I'm so proud of that thing. You know, as time went on, they came out with everything was on cassette. Couldn't get 8-tracks anymore. And I got a boom box. A big boom box. And I could put my tapes in there. And I joined one of those clubs called the Columbia Tape Club. You ever heard of those things? Where you pay a monthly membership and they would send you 10 cassettes. And the membership was really cheap unless you kept those things. If you kept one of them, it cost you so much money. And it's impossible to get out of those clubs. But I was so happy when those came out. And I would, you know what we would do as kids? We would take two tape recorders. And we would play one song, record it on the other, and then we'd send the tape back. We learned how to scam the system. You guys have no idea how privileged you are now to get on Amazon or to get on Pandora or wherever. I mean, there's nothing withheld from you guys. You young people can get anything you want. What a privilege it is. These Jews on the way to their journey, they didn't have boom boxes. They didn't have Sony Walkmans. They didn't have iPhones. They didn't have earbuds. They had to do their own singing. And they sung these songs, and they used this to prepare their hearts for the journey. The journey was sometimes hard. It was sometimes tough. This journey carried them through the Valley of Baca, and it was a very dry and desert place. And it was really tough on them, but they made the pilgrimage because they loved God, and they wanted to be in the house of God. I want to look at a few things concerning this song and what they experienced and how we can experience the fullness of joy when we come to God's house. When church is what it should be, when God is who He should be in our life, church is the greatest place on the face of the earth. And we want to have that attitude toward God the right way, correct? First off, I want to see in the first few verses of this, As they're singing about God's house, it's talking about a place of devotion. Notice these verses. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thine house. They will still be praising thee. You see, it was a place of devotion. He is expressing his deep devotion toward the house of God, his delight in the house of God. In verse 1, it says, how amiable are thy tabernacles. That word amiable means loved. He's talking about how much he loved God's house. The depth of his love is seen in verse 2 where he says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. He loved God's house and he longed to be in God's house. Since the day God saved me, there has never been a time that I have not loved to be in the house of the Lord. On May 25th, 1986, when God did something for me that I could not do for myself, He convicted me of my sin. He showed me my need for a Savior. He showed me that He was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man could come to the Father but by Him. And since that day that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I have never wanted to be out of the house of God. You say, you're always here? No, there are times I have to miss. I've had work come into my life. We've had trips come up in our life. We've had different things come up in our life where we've had to miss. But I'll tell you this, I hate to miss God's house.
Amen.
When I was a kid, we used to pray for snow. It got you out of house, it got you out of work, it got you out of school, it got you out of church. But since I got saved, I no longer have those desires to miss God's church and to miss God's people. Amen. I love being in the house of God.
Amen.
I don't understand anyone who calls himself a Christian that does not love God's house and long to be in God's house.
Yeah.
I don't understand that at all. He said his soul longed. The word soul is a Hebrew term. It means his innermost being. This psalmist, deep down inside, at the very depths of his being, even his heart, his flesh, they cried out to be able to spend time with God. You ever thought about that loved one that's going on? And you stand around their coffin, and this is what you say. I wish I'd spent more time with him.
Yeah.
I wish I'd spent more time with him. I wish I'd called them more often. But when they're gone, it's too late. The Bible says, my spirit will not always strive with man. And there's coming a time where people will not be able to have fellowship with God. And I'm telling you, if you die without Jesus Christ, the worst part of going to hell won't be the lake of fire, it won't be the flames, it will be separated for an eternity from the fellowship with God.
Yeah.
Amen.
As bad as all the things of hell will be, the worst part of it will be separation from God Himself. He said, my soul cried out. That Hebrew word for the word cry gives us a picture of a baby. You know a baby when they cry, they've got their precious baby back here. She was sleeping a minute ago. I hope she still is. But when they cry for something, they get everything involved. They clench their fist. They kick their legs. They grip their gums. They squint their eyes. I mean, they cry out with every part of their being. That's what he's talking about. I want to be with God so much. My soul cries out to him in this way. But his whole body was involved in it. It wasn't just something he wanted. It was something he needed. The genuine worshiper of God longs to spend time in the courts of the Lord. The writer of the psalm only gets to worship God in the temple just a couple of times a year. And he is excited to the point of yearning, thirsting, longing, even failing to worship God again. This is how we should feel about church every Sunday.
Amen.
Every Sunday we should be thinking, wow, what a great thing it is to be in the presence of other Christians, singing songs together, hearing the Word of God. The only bad thing is we have to wait a week to hear it again. I mean, church ought to be important to us. That's his delight in the house of God. Now we move on to his dwelling in the house of God. In verse 3, he gives us a beautiful picture of the dwelling in God's house. He says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." He describes two birds here. The first, there's a sparrow that had found a home, had found a nest in the house of God. And he is envious of the fact that that sparrow gets to live in the house of God, in the presence of God. He's envious that they are allowed, that they're able to be faithful to the house of God. Let me just say a word here about attending church. Going to church won't make you a Christian any more than living in a garage will make you a car. But you cannot be a good Christian and not be faithful to the house of God. As someone has written, being a Christian and not attending church is akin to a student who will not go to school, or a soldier who will not join the army, or a seaman who will not get on the ship. It is important as Christians that we take our place in the house of God. But secondly, the second bird that he mentions here is the swallow. And the psalmist describes the swallow building a nest where she can lay her young. This speaks of bringing our children up in God's house. Every parent ought to make the house of God a place where they bring up their children.
Amen.
Every parent ought to make sure their kids attend church.
Yeah.
It is significant in the life of a young person to have their feet set on solid rock. There are so many benefits to being in God's house that we can't name them all. It is a place where we are strengthened on the journey. When he talks about the Valley of Baca here, and he's talking about the holes that were dug there, we know valleys are dry, desert ground. But this is the valley you go through on your way to worship. And so they had dug wells there. And people were able to come along behind them and partake of those wells, even though they didn't dig them. They were able to be strengthened because of what somebody else did. They were able to be filled because of what someone else did. It says the rain filled the pools. And so we see that other people have played a part in their journey. And so they get to a valley where they ought to be worn down. But instead they gain victory because they're being sustained through the work of other people. It is important that we do that for our families, that we do that for our children. Some people say, "I don't need the church." But I beg to differ. We do need God's house. We need to be in God's house. It is a place where we find strength. I've known people who were going through a hard time, and they let their troubles keep them out of church. I've actually had people say to me before, "I just couldn't come to church today. I was so upset with things. I just couldn't be in God's house." The church is where you ought to be on your darkest days. The church is where you ought to be in your toughest trials and your toughest situations. The church is a place where you can be strengthened. You run off to Gatlinburg or the beach or someplace for the weekend, but when you get back, your problems will all still be here. The church is the only place where you can take care of your problems, where your problems can be replaced with victory. It is important to be in God's house. I want you to notice something about this. He's talking about going to the temple, going to church. But do you know there's not one mention here about the outer appearance of the temple? There's no mention of gold. There's no mention of the silver, the jasper. There's no mention of the cedars of Lebanon. There's no mention of any of the materials that it took to build this house. None of the outer stuff was important to them. It was all about what was on the inside of the church. And as we come to God's house, that's what we are. I know people that go to a church because it's big. That's why they go. Because it's big. I know people that go to church, I mentioned before, people are looking for things for their kids, and that's great. Let me explain something to you. My children have missed out on being a part of a youth program. By no fault of their own. But never was there a time or a discussion that I'm going to take my children out of a place where God is edified, where God is lifted up, and God is glorified, and the people are edified, and move them somewhere else so they can be a part of a youth group. Because it is more important that they have a relationship with God than they have with other people. It is more important that they have somebody they can turn to who will never turn their back on them, who will never walk away from them, who will never leave them or forsake them. I hate it for my children that they never got to experience those youth camps, or they never got to experience the things that I had growing up. But I tell you this, what I do thank God for, I'm thankful that they gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ, that they were in a church where God was glorified and lifted up, and one day the Holy Spirit of God convicted their souls, and they gave their life to Jesus Christ, and now they'll spend an eternity in heaven.
Amen.
All those other things are temporary. There was not one mention here about the outer things of the temple. Nothing. Because that's not what makes it heaven. I told you the church is a practice ground for heaven.
Yep.
And do you know if you ask somebody, do you believe you're going to heaven when you die? I do. I believe I'm going to heaven. What's the best thing about heaven? Do you know what they'll say? The streets are gold. The walls are jasper, and the gates are pearl. And all those things are great. But the reason God gave us that description of heaven, what He was drawing a parallel with was the things we value on this earth won't mean anything there. We'll walk on the gold. If somebody found gold right now, they'd be a rich person. But in heaven, compared to the glory that awaits, we're going to walk on the coal. It doesn't matter. The walls are made of jasper. That's how readily available that stuff is. None of those things matter. It's about who's there. And the best thing about heaven is we're going to a place where God is. We're going to a place where He is, where He abounds, where His love abounds, and where we will never say goodbye again. When I think about heaven, I saw this morning. I was listening to a song, and it was talking about the lights of that city. And the song says, one of the lines in it, and the lame will run all over the streets of that city. And I know so many people that are crippled in their legs, that barely can get around. And it won't matter to them that the streets are gold. It won't matter to them that the walls are jasper, or the gates are pearl. All that will matter to them is that their body has been made whole, because the Lord said, because He lived, we will live also. And He had a glorified body, and we're going to get a glorified body. And all those things that hold us back here, that handicap us, that keep us back, will be wiped away. Do you know that God is going to cure every instance of blindness? There are people who have never seen. They have no idea what they're looking at. They have never seen the beauty of this world. The first thing they see will be the face of Jesus, because the Bible says every eye will behold Him. So blindness will be wiped away. Those children with leukemia, they won't be sick anymore. We won't have to see them hooked up to machines or anything. All that stuff, all those things will be passed away. You see, heaven, is the materials of heaven is not the important part. It's what we gain when we get there. And I told you, some people think that heaven is just going to be one long church service. That's not the way it is. Who made this world? People ask me all the time, they say, do you believe we're going to fish in heaven? I sure do. I sure do. And we're going to eat Reese's peanut butter cups while we're here.
Without count.
But listen to me. If the Lord spoke this world into existence in just a few days, I mean, can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? Can you imagine what the glory of heaven is going to be like? I told Daryl back there in the back a minute ago, I've been down on my back, I hadn't felt good this week, and I said I had no idea getting old was going to be this hard. People warn you, they do, they tell you how bad it's going to be, but you just don't know. Until you get there yourself. And then you spend the rest of your life going to the pharmacy and going to the doctor. That's the highlight of your week. But there's coming a day where all those things are going to pass away. And so when I come into the house of God, I'm not looking at what you have on. I couldn't care less. I'm not listening to your conversation. I'm looking for Him. I'm looking for God to do something for me that I can't do for myself. The Bible says, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, God's ways are higher than our ways. We can't comprehend it. It says that if all the miracles that He performed had been recorded, that there would have been a paper to write it down on. And that's the God I serve. And so when I come into the house of the Lord, I'm not coming here looking at all the problems, all the warts, all the cornbuckles, all the things that are going wrong. I'm looking for the things that are right with the church. And I'm excited about being in God's house.
Amen.
People ask me, say, "Boy, is your music perfect?" No, it's not, but it's godly.
Yeah.
Is your preaching perfect? Oh, Lord, no. You ever had to force yourself to go back and listen to a speech you gave? Try going back and listening to a sermon you preached. But I do know this, God is blessing our church. And it's not because of anything we have done. Because we're unworthy and our righteousness are as filthy rags. It's because He's so good.
Yeah.
He gave His promise. He said if He'd be lifted up, He'd draw all men to Him. That's all I'm trying to do is lift up the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Each and every week. The church is a place where we come to know more about our Lord. And to gain victory. When I first met Carrie, I knew she was beautiful on the outside. That wasn't hard to see. I was standing up giving the announcement. She was sitting on this side over here, not this church, but another one. And her and her mama were checking me out. This is my story. If you want to tell it, you preach. But I noticed how beautiful she was. And I told one of the ladies that day, she said, "I saw you looking at that girl." And I said, "I'm going to marry her." She said, "Well, what if she's already married?" I thought, well, that's going to cause a problem. But she wasn't, and I wasn't, and we met. And over time, though, I got to know how beautiful she was on the inside. And when you get to know about somebody that intimate, it makes everything on the outside pale in comparison. So when we come to God's house, we're learning about God. And we're being taught about the things about God. And we're learning about Him in an intimate way. So when we get to heaven, we're going to fit right in. You see, we're in a slow-moving process right now of being made, being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day it's going to be sped up at a rapid pace.
Yeah.
And we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first, but we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet Him in the air. We are going to be with Him.
Yeah.
And you may have come in today and you've got all kind of problems. You've got all kind of troubles. You've got all kind of worries. None of those things are going to matter when you get in the presence of the King.
Amen.
None of those things are going to matter. Are you excited about church?
Amen.
Are you excited about the things that God does for us when we come into His house? I'm just thankful for Him. Of everything He's done for us, I'm thankful that He continues to send people.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that He encourages you to come back. I would rather be in church with you guys than anybody else I know.
Amen.
I've been blessed over the years. But we've had to say goodbye to some people. We've had to say goodbye on this side of the earth to some people. But one day we're going to see them again.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that we're going to have something to talk about. You remember that Sunday when your grandbaby got saved? You remember that Sunday we baptized them? You remember that Sunday that your child came down and gave his heart and life to Jesus? We're going to have things to talk about. It all happened at the church. Aren't we glad for that?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your goodness and mercy that You freely give to each and every one of us.
Yeah.
God, You've been so good to us. Lord, I pray that You'd give us a fresh glimpse of You this morning. I pray that You'd give us a fresh touch of You this morning, that we might get excited about the things of God, that we might get excited about the Word of God,
yeah,
and the songs of God, and the movement of God. Lord, I pray, Father, if there's people here that are struggling this morning, that You'd remind them all over again that they can find peace, that they can find grace in their time of need. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to come and pray this morning that needs a special touch, God, I pray that You'd give them the encouragement. Lord, that they'll not come alone, but You'll walk beside them. That You'll be with them, Lord. Father, when all things are done, we'll praise You. We'll thank You and we'll give You glory. For it's in Your name we ask these things. Amen. While we stand and while we sing, if God is speaking to you this morning, I invite you to come. You need to come and pray. You're going to come alone. Maybe others are going to come with you. Just as I am. Visitors, Lord. Father, for those, Lord, that
had to make great effort to be here. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless them in a sweet and a mighty way.
Yes.
Lord, for those that are sick and on the bed of affliction, Lord, that are struggling this morning, I pray, God, that you'd put your hand upon them, that you would breathe the sweet breath of comfort upon their soul this morning. You would let them know they have a church family that loves them, that cares for them and misses them greatly. God, I pray that you would just continue to provide for your people everything that we stand in need of. When all things are done, Lord, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For you're the only one that's worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated for just a moment. I apologize for running over a little bit this morning. I'm thankful to be at God's house with you guys today. And sometimes it's just hard to shut up. I know you women will understand that. I'm kidding. But,
do what?
Well, thank you so much. Please remember those in prayer that we're missing this morning. And continue to pray for J.I. and Shirley. I spoke to her earlier this week. And J.I. is really struggling to get his strength back. And so, y'all, please pray for them. Give her a call if you have an opportunity. And give her some encouragement. Glad Uncle James is with us. He had his skin cancer removed off of him. That's his story. Jan may have slugged it. But do remember those that stand in need of prayer this morning. Thank you again for being here. Thank you to our visitors for coming to be at God's house. We don't take for granted that you drove by many churches in order to be here today. And I'm thankful for you coming to be a part of our service today. We don't take that for granted around here, I can assure you. And it's not by accident, but by divine appointment. And one thing I know is we'll never be gathered in church again just like we are right now. It just won't happen. And so I'm going to give thanks to the Lord for today. For you being here and being in our services just like it is today. Thank you all for coming. Why is Darrell, if he would, to dismiss us in prayer, find all our guests and make them know. Yes.
Steve, I'm not asking church. Continue
your
prayer,
amen. Cheryl's sister's got a bad case of cancer, and we don't want her to be in pain and to suffer. And I know her family don't want her to suffer. We just pray that God would touch her and ease her pain and would be with her. Amen. Brother Darrell, would you lead us in prayer?
Our Father, it's been good to be in your house. It's good, Father, to come together with brothers and sisters in Christ, as we laugh together and cry together. One heart makes all our hearts together. We're one in Christ. Father, we thank you we have a God that loves us and cares for us. A God that knows everything about us. Thankful, Father, that we can come before thee with our petitions. With our praise and our worship, with our heart and our tears. In your loving, in your kindness. Father, we just want to praise you this morning and give you glory. We were saved to worship you. May that be our source. We come to meet you. Each and every not only here as we come together in corporate, but as we go our separate ways. Worship you. Thank you for your goodness, mercy. Pray for these requests that we feel their heartaches, we feel their pain. God, love you, God. Be in control of everything in our lives. Thank you for saving Kathy. Willingly die for our sins. Very much. Now, because of that, we can come to the throne of grace, Lord, with our petitions. Be with us as we separate into our lives today, Lord. Be with us during the week. We are grow well, reach back together. We may gather together in one, in Christ, worshiping our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we ask for wisdom.
Amen.